are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick.
And
horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, second half, about 7 minutes past the bottom of the hour, so we got lots to do. After Marcus here, Jay Pribman's going to swing in. Got a couple of things to do with Jay, and as Casey raises him, a quick glance back to how we got to today's carryover sequence, because they started well enough or easy enough and smooth enough yesterday. The wheels came off, starting with the Leah Giarmati, first-time starter, and there was a valuable lesson. You know, this was a New York bred, long on the turf, maiden claimer, so a little different. However, the same holds true. Very little separating them. In fact, you got a race today. One of the races today that has got a kind of a similar odor to it in terms of a hat full of maidens that just have not been able to get over. And that's the ninth of all places after the Evan Shipman. You know, we've got a New York bred showcase kind of a day. And after the Shipman, you've got two more deep, difficult races that just adds to the, frankly, the Shipman's not any easy task either for the pick six, with horses like Tiergan and Bankit. Those are your favorites, but Seafoam, I thought Three Jokers could, put in a run. Very, very tricky. You've also got, in terms of stakes, the Union Avenue is in the sequence as well. But the two races, that maiden 40, that's got a similar feel to the one yesterday, the maiden 40. And here was Leah with the first-time starter that was prominent throughout. Javier Castellano just riding his ass off, to be honest. I mean, he's just killing it. So that pretty much triggered what was going to be, a carryover circumstance, it seemed. And the best idea we had yesterday. Well, we had a couple of decent ideas. Ghost Giant and also that's that Poppy Flower. That worked out all right. So then you had the $20 winner in the nightcap, but it had already been decided that there was going to be this big carryover. We will carry over to Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Forum. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
All right. Got size 10 show and a size 8 boot. Jay, first and foremost, I want to thank you for your eloquent and passionate discussion of that CHRB concept that was quashed by later in the evening.
Well, thank you for giving me the forum to be able to elaborate on why it was so distasteful and odious, and I'm glad that the correct decision was eventually made, but as I posted on Twitter yesterday, this is something that should never even have left the barn.
And, you know, just kind of emblematic of you know, some things that happen, you know, semi-regularly, it seems, around the game where, you know, somebody, it's not a question of running it up the flagpole. You know, they're supposed to be, they're supposed to be a, you know, systemic approach to, you know, so many of these things, Jay. And as we said on Wednesday, just way too often, there's this, you know, blind without a cane approach to things.
Yeah, ready, fire, aim.
Yes, well put. Well put, exactly. Well, that one sinks back into the bushes like that meme of Homer Simpson.
Latella, right? From way back, his old Saturday Night Live fan. Never mind.
Never mind.
The thing that's disturbing, though, Steve, you know, and and then let's move on to other stuff. But
sure,
you know, it shows what the intention is of those individuals, and so you need to be wary of them going forward. Because if that's what their instinct is to do without restraint, it's very disturbing.
Well, as another meme goes, right? Once somebody shows you what they're about, you know, take note.
Believe them. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Believe them. Thank you. That's the right, exactly. There's a lot of that going on, Jay, out there in society right now. The action continues to be spectacular at Del Mar, and you're tracking all kinds of things. You're always looking to the two-year-olds. It is the much like at Saratoga with the Adirondack and the Special, the same kind of middle, you know, set of stakes. You also wrote about an exciting, a potentially big and exciting two-year-old in Ultimate Gamble.
Right, so this is a Medaglia d'Oro two-year-old that was bought as a two-year-old in training earlier this year in Ocala by Jed and Tim Cohen, who race under stable names Red Baron's Barn and Rancho Temescal. They're pretty prominent owners out here, Jed's the father and Tim the son, and Mark Glad is one of their trainers, and he's the one who ended up with this colt. He's a half-brother to Dre Fong, so he's got certainly the pedigree to be a top horse. They paid obviously a terrific amount of money for him, $1.75 million, as you mentioned, and he's, you know, trained right on since coming in first to Santa Anita and then down to Del Mar for his three most recent works leading into his debut tomorrow in what looks like a pretty loaded maiden race. It's the first one that'll be as far as 6.5 furlongs for a dirt race. There's obviously been mile grass races, but this will be the longest dirt race we've had on this circuit to date. And not only is this horse in there, but you've got a couple of the requisite expensive Baffert purchases making their debuts, a $700,000 Nyquist yearling and a $550,000 Arrogate yearling. And you've also got a Peter Miller by Arrogate, who's run second in both of his races, most recently in pretty fast time earlier this meet. So it looks like it has the potential to be a really good race. It's the 7th tomorrow at Del Mar.
Well, keeping an eye on the maidens that are always productive, and there's also Calbred maidens earlier on the card that's going as the second, and then of course there's the Sorrento, which came up a little earlier with Marcus, and the Yellow Ribbon for the fillies and mares, one of the seasonal standards.
Right, it's one of the better grass races for older fillies and mares on this circuit. Per usual in grass races around here, it's the Phil D'Amato show with Going Global being the favorite in here, and she's got two wins in a second over this grass course. Park Avenue will be the one to catch. She scored a front-running win in the Ouija board at Lone Star in her last start, and battling back to win that race over Avenue de France. But there's another D'Amato in here who I think might be worth a gamble, and that's Burgoo Alley. Her two-turn grass races were all very good, except for her last one, which necessitated a lengthy layoff. But she'd been in steady training for a long time leading up to that. She had a right, I think, to kind of go off form, and it was a false pace race. Now she's had time off. She's got a series of works coming into her return. You know, certainly she's not as accomplished as Going Global, but she's going to be a much higher price, and I think she's got a shot in here off the layoff. And, you know, if Going Global is not quite as good as she used to be, and I think you could make the case that maybe she isn't, I think this is an interesting horse in here. So I'm going to play Burgoo Alley to win and then just protect with her underneath Going Global. But I think Burgoo Alley's got an upset chance in the Yellow Ribbon tomorrow.
I like it. And 10-1 morning line with Ramon Vasquez, who certainly deserves credit for you know, taking his tack to an A circuit. I've always been a fan of his, and he's had a solid meet. I got to get a little more, I'm curious, because, you know, Jay, it's such a reshuffled deck out there when it comes to the jocks this summer.
Yeah, it really is. There's just been a lot of new faces, and a lot of new faces who have done well. Hector Berrios and Brian Curatolo, in particular, have had well above average meets, or well above expectations, I think would be a better way of putting it, meets for them. And Vasquez is new to the circuit. He got here a little bit earlier than that. Obviously, Giroux is out here for the summer. So there's a lot of new faces for this summer at Del Mar.
I have not had a chance, Jay, to look ahead to Sunday with everything else going on. Or did we Sorrento? We didn't get a Sorrento.
Right. Sorrento's on Saturday. That's for
right.
Fillies.
There we go.
A moment ago mentioned that you discussed it with someone else, so I thought you were moving on from that. But I'm happy to bring it up.
No, please, go ahead. Marcus lost his pick. He lost Infinite Diamond.
Yeah, I mean, that horse is in a maiden race on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Procrastination won impressively first time out, and she'll be the one to beat. She had an inside draw in her debut, and she'll have to overcome that again on tomorrow. And then you've got the three Doug O'Neills, and he told me the plan as of yesterday was to run all three of them, the most prominent being Absolutely Zero, who beat the boys in the Fasig Tipton Futurity at Santa Anita. It's funny, collectively, O'Neill's horses have run five times and they're unbeaten. So if he runs all three, at least two of them will no longer be unbeaten, barring a dead heat in the Sorrento. But Procrastination is certainly the horse to beat off the impressive way that she won her debut at Los Alamitos on July 4th.
Yeah, the draws the rail and was actually somewhat inside in that debut at Los Al. And Michael, I thought I saw that McCarthy had I thought I saw a McCarthy horse a maiden, was that not sure. I something of interest. I'll have to go dig. I mean, I've got so many PPs here, Jay. It's frightening, frankly. Every card I looked at this weekend, I felt like I had to you know, either at least print out the stakes. I mean, there was just so much going on. And when, you know, when Ellis and Emerald are forcing your hand on a Sunday, you know it's a big weekend.
But you can handle it, Steve. You are the master of all.
No,
I have no doubt that you will. All the cards will land face up for you.
Well, we'll see about that. No, it'll end up like Rain Man when they're falling off the back of the trunk of the antique car. The Jay, how about Sunday?
Yeah, I mean the best pal actually came up with a really large field, and there's a number of intriguing horses in here, so it's kind of gratifying. With the Sorrento is going to have, you know, like a field of six, and the best pal is going to have about 11, which is great. I mean, it just makes for a much more interesting race. And these are both prep races for the respective grade ones at the end of the meet. The Sorrento's the prep for the debutante, and the best pal's the prep for the futurity on closing weekend. I think the horse to beat in the best pal is having a meltdown, the Baffert by Uncaptured, who won opening weekend here, and who's beat a horse who came back and won next time out. So he certainly looks like the one to beat. But there's an interesting horse that Simon Callahan won at Churchill with, Armand, who is won at Churchill. Martin Garcia rode. They're bringing Martin Garcia in to ride. He benefited from having an outside draw in his debut, and he won his best while favored. And he's going to have to overcome an inside draw post two in this field. But I thought he won really well in that race. And I like that they're sticking with the rider that got them their home first time out. So he certainly looks like a worthy candidate. But the way the race drew and based on his win over the track, certainly having a meltdown is the deserving favorite and horse to beat in here.
An Uncaptured, of all things, and Yakteen on the outside with one with a Dad's Caps. I mean, there's some interesting pedigrees in this group.
Yeah, I mean, the Kangaroo Court, I'll be interested to see if they decide to, you know, if there's a maiden race for him to enter back in. He's a cowbred. Seems like a ambitious spot for Kangaroo Court.
Now Jay, we're in the same frame of mind here with the two-year-old stakes as well, leading up to the Hopeful and Spinaway on this side of the ledger. Midway, basically, at both meets, the summer really has been outstanding, and everybody gearing up for things like the Travers and the Pacific Classic and all the things that come with it. I appreciate it, Jay, and a double helping of Jay Pribman this week, folks. You got the racetrack news, and you got the hard news, too. You got handicapping and the rip from today's headline conversations. So, Jay, have a great weekend.
You too, Steve. Thanks again for having me on.
Not at all. Of course, Thoroughbred LA tomorrow with Jay and the cast that comes along each weekend for many, many years. Stay here, and approaching the top of the hour, we just got a couple of minutes. We'll get some plays from Scully. He's going to lay them all out. And then Nick Tamaro, we got to get to Hammer. I've got to reach out for the boys, for Chuck and Barry. And we've got the Georgia conversation to slip in before the end of the morning. And Dave Grenick, too. Dave Grenick's out there rolling around. He said, call him after 11. So we'll get all of that. Casey gets Scully, it really is an interesting, odd group. I mean, there's three Bolt Doros in that Best Pal Sunday. Kaleem Shah with Armand. With Simon Callahan, the first Bolt Doro. Then there's Agency, the Mark Glatt, that won, you know, with a moderate fig starting out. And Pop Doro, as well for Hector Palma with Victor Espinoza coming out of that phasic stake. So interesting. Then the 2-1 captures and a dad's cap, one of the early Always Dreamings as well for Jeff Angler. It's a pretty interesting cast. That's the benefit of having you get a nice full size field. Scully, I think, is with us. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. James, I know you have the same kind of curiosity when it comes to perusing PPs. So I know that you probably were pulled in some different directions with all the kind of far-flung racing interests. That Ellis card on Sunday, and then, of course, running at Churchill tomorrow with the Arlington Million Bev D card, and then our usual, our usual Del Mar Saratoga. So go ahead and wander us through the plays you like.
All right, I'm going to start at Saratoga, one race, then I got a few undercard picks. I'll touch on the Bluegrass Pick 6, the Churchill, and Ellis on Saturday, Sunday. At Saratoga, perfect. I like Damon's Mound in the Saratoga Special. A horse broke a step slow in his debut. I thought it was spectacular after that. I think the real thing with this horse is that a little bit when you run a big race like that, it's like, where do you go from there? Can you keep moving forward? And I think his training indicates he's doing that. I've got reports from people who've seen him training at Colonial. Those two back-to-back works after the race were just unbelievable. He bounced off the track after that 58-2 work. And Michelle Lovell has worked him twice 5 furlongs under a hammerlock just to get him off the track because he wants to run over, through, and buy every horse he comes across. So I think he's razor sharp right now. If he breaks, he's got a shot to leave wire to wire. I like him in the Saratoga Special.
It'd be exciting for Michelle Lovell, obviously, to come to Saratoga and win a stake. She's done it downstate at Belmont.
Yeah, and then I'll mention Churchill Downs, 11-race program, all maiden allowance and stakes races, 4 stakes, the 2 premier turf ones, Fairway D, Arlington Million, $200,000 race, the Lady Tack, and the Fort Larned for females and males. We also have a maiden special weights and allowances. The smallest purse on the card is 120 grand. I'll hit 3 maiden plays real quick on the undercard. Race number 4. Zeitlos, first-time starter by Curlin for Steve Asmussen, out of a Australian mare, Australian-bred, Australian-based mare, was a Grade 3 winner in Australia, or she might be in America now, but she raced in Australia, was from an extremely classy female family, a bunch of stakes winners, bred for speed, precocity, good workout report. I think the horses with experience in there could be a little vulnerable. I like Zeitlos for Asmussen in race 4.
Manny Franco into ride.
Manny Franco and John Velasquez in town to ride at Churchill Downs on Saturday from New York. In race number 6, really a great maiden race. A lot of interesting first-time starters. I'm going, though, with number 3 Confidence Game in his second start for Keith DeSormo. Thought it was interesting. Took a look at him at July 2nd maiden race at Damon's Mound one. Produced a lot of good horses, Steve, and I thought it was a pretty deep field. I took a look at him. He was 8-1 at post. He got bet a little bit early on, too, and I was just like, hey, I'm giving Keith DeSormo horses a race. He walked out of the gate. I thought that was a really deceptively sneaky run to be third behind that runaway winner. That's a perfect race to build upon. He's come back and trained forwardly. He's listed at 6-1 with James Graham. I think if he gets out of the gate, Confidence Game's poised for a real big effort in race number 6 at Churchill.
Very nice. The 3.
Yeah. And then I'll mention in race 8 real quick. Putcher has number 7, Order of Merit. Could be a good one, half a sister to a grade 1 winner. But number pro Oxidant is going to offer more value. This colt or gelding, Bob Medaglioro, we just heard Jake Tribman talk about, he's the sire of a hot 2-year-old out there, good young sire. He's a half-brother to multiple grade 1 winning sprinter, AP Indy, plus two other stakes winners. his dam, Ender Sister, was a multiple stakes winner, ran second at Delaware Handicap, La Troya, and Cotillion. Pro Occident has bullet works in three of his last four works. He might not be 6-1 on the morning line, but he's not going to be favored in this race. And I'm going with him from post eight with Rafael Bejarano for Eddie Keneally, number 9, Pro Occident, race 8.
Hmm. Okay. Got some, and then, some nice prices.
Yeah, and then,
nice prices, James.
Yes, sir. And then I'll just mention we got this unique special two-day wager collaboration between Churchill on Saturday, Ellis Park on Sunday. It's the Dollar Bluegrass Pick 6. All six races are stakes. The three stakes at Churchill, the Beverly D, the Lady Tack, the Arlington Million. I'm not going to be looking to go too deep in those first two races. I like Rozier and Family Way in the Beverly D. I think that mile and eighth trip might be too sharp for Lily Pond. I'm going to try to beat her from Aiden O'Brien and Coolmore. So I like Rozier, Lily Pond. I'm going to single Sconson in the Lady Tack. Arlington Million is a little bit more of a spread race, but I'm going to try to take a stand against Smooth Like Straight and Set Piece. A little bit of concerns pace-wise with Smooth Like Straight, and just like his camera shy ways running 5 seconds and a third in his last six starts. So Set Piece, I don't know about the distance. I'm giving an edge to Sacred Life, but I'm also going to use Stanton and a Mission Office, because if a Mission Office gets the pace in that race, Steve, he likes Churchill's turf. He showed it at least in that Arlington race, which he won at a mile and a 16th. He's got 2 seconds and a third from three starts at a mile and an eighth. You know, he's definitely a horse that's going to find my way on Vertical Exotics, and I'm going to throw him in on the Bluegrass 6-6 ticket.
Interesting. And that's, you know, that's what you're going to look for in these sequences. I'm sure you're ahead of me on Ellis. I have not done the heavy lifting on Ellis at all.
Yeah, they have 5 stakes at Ellis, and the last three, the Audubon Oaks, the Groupie Doll, and the Ellis Park Derby wrap up the sequence. I'll just mention the first two, because those races, the Juvenile and the Ellis Debutante, can be feeder races for these Road to Kentucky Derby preps coming up this fall. In the Ellis Park Juvenile, I like number 5, Frosted Departure. He's out of a grade 1 winning mare, Undeterred. He ran that first time out. He was in that Damon's Mound race. Just missed the start from post 11. Just walked out of the gate. Next time out, 20 days later for McPeak, this Frosted Colt just blitzed him in a fast time at Ellis Park. I think he's worked well since then. It's going to be a nice 2-year-old stakes horse, Frosted Departure. And the Ellis Park Debutante, I like number 12, Just a Warrior. Justify Philly for John Ortiz. She drew an outside post, but I think she's going to be, you know, number 9, Empire of My Own, number 10, Holiday Decision, will take some action. But I think Just a Warrior, really a good-looking Justify 2-year-old Philly winner for John Ortiz, who's the co-leading trainer at Ellis with 8 wins, gets a hot jockey rider combination with Ray Lou Gutierrez. Just a Warrior is my pick in the debutante.
Very good.
And then the last three stakes are conclude the Bluegrass Pick 6 $1 special two-day wager. Audubon Oaks, number 5, Last Leaf, is going to take some beating off 2 very short, sharp stakes wins at Gulfstream Park, shipping in for this Audubon Oaks at 7 furlongs. But I'll mention 2 others that could also merit a look. Optionality will be forward, and it has good tactical foot in a race lacking true pace. May appreciate the cutback to 7 furlongs. Gunning is a Gunrunner daughter that I thought was a fast maiden winner on that Foster undercard. I think she's, you know, if she can sit close enough, she can finish in this race, Gunning. So I'm going to use 4, 5, and 7 in that race in the Audubon Oaks, Steve.
Okay.
And then in the Groupie Doll, super quick, is going to be a lot of singles for people. I'll use her on my ticket. I'll mention number 3, Grayson's Macho Gal. She's in good form, likes Ellis Park. Her last start over the track last year, she won by 11 lengths. She's one to consider for Ortiz. The Ellis Park Derby wraps up the sequence, and you got a couple of horses that are coming into back to Stakes Company or stepping back up into Stakes Company. Strava and Top of the Charts off nice wins. Won't be surprised to see either one of them win the Ellis Park Derby. I'm giving the edge to number 6, Chasing Time. I thought that was a tough trip. He'd never been on the lead in any of his previous 9 starts. He got caught on the lead on the inside dueling last time through 44-1, 109 splits on a sloppy track. He's going to run. He's going to get a better trip from an outside post six to tomorrow or Sunday, and I think he's going to rebound for Asmussen and Rafael Bejarano, who takes them out on Chasing Time over number nine Trademark, who ran fourth in the Indiana Derby last time. So yeah, that's how I got it, Steve, at Ellis. It's like you said, five really good betting races and some good stakes action. You know, we got between Churchill and Ellis, we got nine stakes the next 2 days.
Now, and this this concept, this dollar pick six, and of course it'll be forced out. It's a must pay. So if nobody hits six, they'll pay for five, etc. And in fact, James, you know what you do? Send me your grid. Send me your layout, yeah. And I'll get that up on for everybody on the website.
And I'll mention one other thing. Scott mentioned it earlier. I'm going to be in the Churchill Downs Today show tomorrow, talking with Megan Devine from Ellis Park. We're going to go over those sequences, the races again. Look forward to speaking with her tomorrow at Churchill Downs. And I got a last second play, race two at Del Mar tonight, number two, Stones River, wire to wire, 6-1 on the morning line. Two and
nice,
two.
The LSFP. Beautiful. The last second Friday push from James Scully. James, good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Same to you. Thanks, Steve.
James Scully, everybody. You follow James. James underscore Scully 111. Not that he's a big, not a big tweeter. Nick Tamaro's next. We got to get a couple of thoughts from Nick on the pick five. Very brief. On the pick six today. And I can tell you, I guess in terms of the sequence, the scratches, I just retweeted Andy, put out the scratches for everybody. Be aware, I'll just say this. I don't know if Jimmy Bond's, Roy Lerman's horse, I'm going to have to look again in that ninth race I told you about, the New York bred Maiden 40 that looks like the race from yesterday with Leah's first time starter. Lacey Underall scratched the four, and so I'm sorry that all of you Caddyshack fans will have to wait for Lacey Underall's debut. Where'd it go? Into the lumberyard. There is a horse that drew in though, Galley Head, and Roy Lerman is a dangerous desperado. So I'm going to look. I got to look again at Galley Head and be aware that the 11 drew in to the ninth race. The other horse that I think probably showed up on some tickets, I picked Frippet fourth in that 3-year-old filly first level allowance that goes as the seventh. This is a mile on the inner, and I thought Frippet had a chance. That was Jonathan Thomas with Johnny. But Frippet has scratched, so you don't have to worry. I'm going to keep it simple, I think, with Linda's Gift and Gal in a Rush. Chad's got two, that Bahamian Club inside and Spicer outside with Pratt. Nick, I think Nick is with us. Nick? There he is. Nick, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
Nick, I don't know if you saw my tweet from last night, but I'm not somebody that just tosses off tweets, off the hip. But I did feel like I had to say last night, this pick six carryover sequence is giving me a headache. This thing is murder.
Yeah, it's very, very tricky. I think it's got a number of super competitive races, including both of the stakes that are in the sequence and the allowance race in the middle of it. I'm just glad they didn't put the fourth in the pick six sequence because that might be the toughest race on the card. But no, it is a very, very competitive slate of races. It reminds me a little bit of that Friday opening week where I think we talked a little bit about how difficult the sequence is and mentioned the possibility of a 2-day carryover, which seems like a real possibility once again.
A couple of big leans. Is there anything that stands out that you think people should latch onto?
I mean, in terms of things that stand out, I'll give you a couple of horses that I like along the way. The fifth, to me, is extremely difficult. I picked the three, I Am the Law. I thought he ran up what was probably a bit of slower inside last time out. I thought either of his last two races were probably good enough to win this. I don't think the dry track's a problem. The quick workout and Terranova being off to a decent start, I thought were all good signs. Caffrey looks like the main speed, so he's definitely dangerous for that reason. Now that Dale Roman's barn has woken up a little bit, I think you have to give Southern Passage some consideration, even as poorly as he ran last time out. That was just against much, much tougher horses. So I would probably want to start with at least those three. The Union Avenue is one of the toughest races on the card. I picked Mashney Girl, and, you know, with due respect to Mark Hennig, he hasn't won a race since it was still snowy outside. So, you know, it's been a long run. He's good cutting back on the dirt. I'd like this type of cutback on this track because she's going to be forwardly placed. There's not really a great deal of confirmed speed in here. I would probably try and just wiggle through here with the 3 and 4, back up with the 1 and 2. Either Snicket or Secret Love can win. Problem with Secret Love is that she really just hasn't stepped forward. And maybe her last few races are good enough to win this. My biggest lean that's going to be a decent price in the entire sequence is Bahamian Club in the 7th. Bahamian Club comes back from a race that was run right in the middle of that stretch of time when you didn't want to be inside on the inner turf course. And not only was she glued to the rail the entire way, but she got into bad traffic trouble around the 8th pole. So that race is just a complete line through it. This is a situation where you're going to get Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz as probably the third or fourth choice. And I think there are a couple of horses in there that are just a little bit phony that I don't really want much of, including Al-Kahira, who I think didn't really run as well as you might think, finishing fourth in the Lake George last time, now faces a vastly different pace scenario. So it is very, very difficult. I think later in the sequence, you're probably going to find yourself leaning a little bit on Cool Cats and Kittens in the 9th, who is back against Maiden Claimers, faced much tougher last time out. I didn't love the ride she got that day at all. Broke like a shot, immediately reined in, and ultimately that worked against Irad Ortiz Jr., shockingly. So, yeah, I would say that if you're playing it, you definitely want to be you want to be well capitalized, because it's going to take a pretty hearty ticket to take it down.
Yeah, I was waiting for the scratches to put a ticket together, but it sounds like you and I are on a lot of a lot of similar ideas in here, and that included I Am the Law, who I thought was at that number was 6-1 was very much a player, and the problem you got there is the Caffrey could potentially wire. I think everything Phil Bauer sends out you have to look at three times.
Yeah, based on the way things have gone recently, I think you've got to give him a second look for sure. Worth noting, I think that this one had he's coming back off the layoff. I didn't really love that last race. This is a horse who's going to have to run better than he did in that start. But look, I mean, you're dealing with Saez.
Commander Compton.
Going a mile and an eighth. Commander Compton, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, good. So you're a little cooler on him. All right. That's the carryover sequence. And I am going to be curious to see what this draws in terms of play, because I sense that some people may think this is a fool's errand and not worth throwing good money, depending on whether you played it, what your policy is toward approaching pick sixes. But it's been since the opening weekend that we've had a carryover. So from that standpoint, might be worth taking a swing. It's very, very tough though. Nick, let's glance ahead to tomorrow, and once again we got 2 5 horse fields in the stakes, but the principles in both of those stakes are actually very, very nice. Might be one of those occasions like we said about the Whitney that unless you had a strong opinion on Happy Saver, it probably wasn't worth betting too much on the race. Give us a couple of thoughts about tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Steve, as far as the four-star Dave goes, I love Get Smokin'. I'm very much looking forward to betting Get Smokin' in this race. I am willing to take a chance against both Chad Brown horses. I'm perfectly willing to take a chance against Mason. I thought Mason's poker was decidedly mediocre. He beat a field that has come back, and every horse in the race has basically just embarrassed itself next time out. Aside from Public Sector's sort of dull third in the Forbidden Apple, Wolfie Zynigo's Public Sector Sanctuary City, they've not done any running since that race whatsoever. So I think he might be a horse that's actually tailing off a little bit now that he's been in America a bit more. Interested to see the workout reports and how they say he's training. Regal Glory is really good and is the horse to beat and is a deserving morning line favorite, but she has had a lot of good fortune in her last four wins, really, including the Matriarch, when she just set a glacial pace. I don't necessarily think it's a certainty that if she is tracking a pace-setting Get Smoke and she's going to run him down. I think Get Smoke's last race in the Forbidden Apple was very, very good. I thought that he effectively rated just a little bit off the pace. He made the first move into it. He ended up battling it out really well to the end while City Man drew off. I mean, he missed second by a half a length to horses who both had perfect trips, all things considered. He's now third off the layoff. He is clearly the lone speed. And if by some crazy chance he's not in front of this field by a couple of lengths down the backstretch, I'll be shocked. And this is a horse that we've seen on multiple occasions set pretty solid fractions and be able to stick around to the end. So I'm going to take Get Smokin'. I'm going to try for a little bit of an upset. I think he's really coming into the race the way I want. And I think there are real knocks on the two favorites. The other horse, obviously, is Casa Creed, who, as much as I respect him and everything he's done, and I think he's going to get a great trip from the inside, I just don't think a mile is really his game. Now, this might be a mile that he could step forward enough to really contend. It just, you know, it seems pretty clear at this point that Casa Creed's best distance is somewhere around 6 to 7 furlongs.
Well, it's funny. Last week, I was sitting with Lee Einsiedler, and we were talking. You know, Lee was getting excited about the race tomorrow, and knowing that Regal Glory was going to be in there, but we were talking about future plans, and you know, he's had a couple of nibbles about a potential stallion career, but you know, Lee also was excited that they announced that Santa Anita is going to host the Breeders' Cup next year, because he thinks 6.5 down the hill will be to, you know, Cass's wheelhouse. Now, of course, he'll be a year older and have a few more, you know, miles on the tires, but Lee was more or less thinking ahead and saying, you know, after having to make tough decisions about what distance to run Casa Creed in the Breeders' Cup races, 5 is too short, a mile's too long. So maybe, you know, 6.5 down the hill and Bob's your kitten.
Yeah, I don't know where I said this to somebody. I'm so overexposed nowadays, and I don't know who it was, on a podcast or something. I said, you know, boy, Casa Creed really just needs to be, if he comes back and he's as good next year, it just seems like down the hill would really be incredible for him, and I stand by that. I mean, I think that he's going to be very, very dangerous in that scenario. It was on the Twin Spires video preview. That's where it was. Yeah, it really would suit him ideally. I mean, 6 furlongs, obviously, at Belmont on the turf would probably be best, but I think downhill would be almost as good, no doubt about it.
Nick, the 2-year-old event and maybe a couple of other spots that jumped out at you for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a good matchup, Damon's Mound and Gulfport, both horses who come in off blowout wins. It's kind of funny, they won by almost identical margins last time out. Both with favorable trips, they sat on slow paces and pulled clear late, so now you're going to see a little bit of a matchup with them squaring off. You know, I think Gulfport is probably positioned a little bit better being on the outside, and obviously Steve Asmussen, pretty tough to beat in these kind of scenarios, though Michelle Lovell is a very good trainer in her own right. I know a lot of people are going to be looking at this race and say, who is Michelle Lovell, that aren't familiar with Kentucky racing, but she's a very, very skilled trainer who's been winning races for a long time, multiple different jurisdictions. So that's going to be a fun matchup. You know, I don't know how much from a betting perspective it's going to be all that interesting. I think maybe as far as the early pick 5 goes, you'll favor one over the other. If you want to take a little bit of a price approach, I think you'd probably lean towards Damon's Mound, but Gulfport feels like maybe a slightly likelier winner. You know, the rest of the card, I didn't really have anybody that at this point that really stood out in terms of someone to really draw attention to. There's a couple of 2-year-old races that look like they're fun. The turf sprint that goes as the 6th is interesting because you have Larry Ravelli coming in with a new gelding who broke his maiden on the turf, on the dirt last time out of Colonial, now getting to the turf. Ravelli has had success in New York in the past. Sheriff Bianco is 2nd off a claim in there. The 2-year-old race is the 7th, and there aren't really an overwhelming amount of tremendous pedigrees. Black Rain is the morning line favorite for Todd Fletcher. This horse is a half to Ethereal Road and was bred by the late Paul Pompa. This is not one of the big pedigree, big purchase price horses that you've grown to really expect to see from Todd's barn. Skellig for John Terranova went for $235,000 at the OBS April sale. We've seen Progeny of Girvan run really well early in their careers, so I'm interested to see what that one has to offer. Obviously, if you buy the workout reports, take a look there. General Jim is a Shug McGahee trainee who went for $850,000 as a yearling last year. Shug's done better with two-year-olds in the last few years, did have a winner on the turf a couple of weeks ago. The eighth is a fun one, other than where Portfolio Company's getting some class relief. I got to say, though, Portfolio Company's last race in the Tail of the Cat was not very good. I'm interested to see if he bounces back a little bit. This is a field that, on paper, he is 100% supposed to handle. 02035, I think, is probably the biggest threat. He was bested narrowly by Portfolio Company last time out. Constitution Lawyer, worth a little bit of a look in there also. That looks like a pretty fun race later on in the card. And then you've got another maiden special weight race leading into the four-star Dave. And this is one with some horses that have shown some ability early in their careers, including For Good, Unlimited Potential on the rail, a $750,000 Union Rags, who's a little bit late getting to the races, but looks to be training forwardly for Todd Pletcher, just has to deal with that tricky inside post. So maybe not quite the star power or the some of the bigger races we've grown to see on Saturdays, but I think definitely an interesting set of races.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, NTAM1215, and you can find Nick everywhere.
Pretty much.
As he alluded. Yeah. Nick, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and getting close to your visit, and looking forward to that.
Thank you very much, my friend. Looking forward to it as well. Good luck, everybody.
Nick Tamaro, folks, there you go. A little bit of pick six thought for later. It starts in race five, and you're looking at a 3:21 start. I've got races 3 through 10 done, and I wanted to wait before I posted until there were the scratches. Actually, I'm glad I did wait. So we'll get that up a couple of minutes after we wrap up this morning. We got a lot to do in about 40 minutes, 39 minutes to get it all done. It's going to be hard. Dave Grenig is going to join us next. Just got a couple of minutes with Dave and get you know, kind of the mid-season view from him. Have also got, I got to get to Hammer too. Hammer is home. He had a great couple of days, He was here a week. He was here, I think, 7 or 8 days. Hammer's home, and now he basically will tread water until he gets to Kentucky Downs, where we will meet him again. He and I, we got to add up all the places we've been over the course of the year together. It's unbelievable. And we are going to get at least a hello in from Barry and from Chuck. Chuck's picking Barry up at about 11:45. So as they drive to the track, we'll get a hello in with the two of them together. All right, and we'll the Georgia and frankly now that we're on the phone, the Georgia conversation we might table that. We'll see. Let me wait till I hear from Jack D'Amico. Meanwhile, Dave Grenig and. Oh, and by the way, I just got a text from Holly Short. Another week of Beat Pick. We're halfway, and you got 4 more weeks to either beat me or come along with me on a selection. I'll send out a text or a tweet with the stats. Another good week. You know, every week people are chipping away, and I've been sort of splitting. I've been hitting one and missing one. So if you aren't a member of the tour, if you beat me, you can register for the tour for $10. And if you come along with me, you're just qualified for the September 17th final and the seat to Vegas, and you'll be eligible for the $1 million bonus. Dave Grenig. Dave is eligible. You're eligible for $1 million bonus from the Daily Racing Form.
I am. How is that?
because of the outstanding. They don't know, but at some point, somebody's going to say, you know, Grenig has had an incredible career. We should give him a bonus.
There you go. I say, please alert the authorities.
Exactly, the proper authorities. Dave, we're at the couple of days behind or past the into the second half of the meet, and it is really flying by. Part of that is glorious weather. Now that the heat is out of our kitchen, it really feels like we've got a terrific month here to run through to Labor Day?
Yeah, I don't know that I would agree with the flying by part, but I will agree that there's some four strong weekends left in the meet. Obviously, this weekend, Four-Star Dave and the Saratoga Special with an intriguing matchup, even though it's only five horses in the two-year-old race, it's an intriguing matchup, I think. We get the Alabama, which, you know, I don't think Nest will get beat, but I've been wrong before. And then, obviously, the Travers in a couple of weeks, and that'll be fun at the center, and we get to see Rich Strike again, and Zandon, maybe early voting. A couple upstarts like Artorias, and confirmed this morning with Bill Mott that Gilded Age will run. He was second to Artorias in the Curlin. So, you know, Cyberknife, obviously. Everyone forgets Cyberknife, including myself, and he's the only one in the division who's won two Grade One. So, you know, we, including me, have to start giving this horse a little more, you know, putting him up on the list of names of horses when you start reeling off the contenders for the Travers.
So, if you had to guess right now, 2 weeks out, what would you think we're going to get for a head count?
I'll say eight. Okay. Let's see. So charge it. Yeah, like I said, let's just say three Chads. You'll throw early voting in there, just you know, because he's not out yet. So let's throw three Chads: Rich Strike, Gilded Age, Artorias won the Chad. There's some horse from Iowa that's already here prepping, charge it, and Cyberknife. So yeah, I think we're looking at around eight right now. Epicenter. Oh god, I forget Epicenter. I'd say eight-ish, either side of eight.
Well, eight would be very nice. That would be a very strong eight. And
you'd have the two classic winners. If again, you know, I think Chad at this point is like early voting needs to convince me that he needs to be in the race. But who's to say that he won't? And is you know he's going to breeze tomorrow, and who's to say that he won't breeze well enough to get another breeze next week, and then after that to say, I'll go here. If he feels he needs more time, or if he feels this track isn't for him, maybe it's not even a time issue. Maybe this track isn't for him. I don't know. Maybe the track, the way it was that particular day, wasn't for him. But I wouldn't give up on the horse just because of one bad race. Could go to Pennsylvania.
No, I agree, and that's what's interesting about this. Although, if Cyberknife or Epicenter win, or I suppose, frankly, if Rich Strike won, that would really throw things into a fascinating scenario. But let's expect that the two favorites are Epicenter and Cyberknife, and if one or the other wins, do you think they can be unseated as a 3-year-old champ?
Yeah, because and the way that would happen is if you get a horse, if a 3-year-old other than the ones you mentioned were to beat Flightline and Life Is Good in the Breeders' Cup Classic, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just giving you the scenario that allows for what you're saying. If some 3-year-old not named Epicenter or Rich Strike won the Classic, beating Life Is Good and Flightline, provided they're in there, you might have to think that that horse is going to, you know, get it, unless it's some, you know, it's their first win or something like that.
Couple of things from the week that we should include, Dave, because you had a busy week. Every week for you up here is busy, but who am I kidding? You had Dwayne Lucas with a very quick reevaluation of his now, you know, big filly, big fillies, and Naughty Gal out of the Adirondack. I thought that your piece about Javier Castellano and PJ was really interesting, because it's one of the best stories of the summer is how Javier is back being, you know, the Hall of Fame version of Javier.
Yeah, he had to sort of reinvent himself. He had that surgery, that little hip surgery, and when you do that, it's supposed to be for your benefit, and in the long term, it typically is. In the short term, it typically isn't, because out of sight, out of mind, you lose business and you don't get it back. And it took him a while to get that business back, to get the trust
back from the horseman. You need to prove, you sort of need, even though yet your resume speaks for itself, you need to prove yourself all over again. And he took him a little while to do that, but with PJ on his side and getting some opportunities from really not the people that he normally got the opportunities from, has really, helped spark him. And he still got it. You know, I guess it's one of those things. He's not done. And it's good to see. He's a good guy. He's hardworking, as are most of these guys. But when you're 44, about to be 45, sometimes it's not like your work ethic wanes. It's just that you don't do as much. But now he's back doing what up here they're all out. You can't go a morning here without seeing just about every job trying to get on a horse or getting on a horse, to breeze or whatever. And he's putting in the work, and he's showing. He's flashing the. Hall of Fame. There's two Hall of Fame riders here. One's Johnny D, and one's Javier. The other ones might get there, but right now there's only two with plaques.
That's a good point. That's a good point. What about D-Wayne?
I did not do that particular story that apparently he's, I guess he's flipping now. Naughty Gal, I guess he's now thinking of running back in the Adirondack. I thought he was actually going to wait for... a two-turn race at Churchill, but we'll see. I mean, look, every day's a different day with Wayne, so things could change. But it was nice to see him back in the winner's circle in a two-year-old stake at Saratoga. It's where he made his where he made his living, right? He's won
very
a bunch
much.
Of those two-year-old stakes, and actually, until this filly came along, until Secret Oath, I should say, came along. I think his last Grade One was. Sporting Chance and the Hopeful here a few years ago. That's right. It's good to see him with a couple of nice horses, and I know he's very high on the horse that's in this weekend, Take Charge Brianna. I believe it's Saturday. It could be Sunday. Every day, I drown in past performances here. So,
me too.
I know he's high on that filly, who I believe already ran once here and didn't run his up to expectations, but let's test his theory. He believes horses that he has here need a race. To improve over the track, and that filly, I guess, we'll find out if he's right or not.
Dave, you say that, and when Lucas refers to that, he means that this track has been deep, it's been tiring and demanding. I suppose it would be a disservice if I didn't bring up what is a little bit of a disconcerting spate of injuries and fatalities.
Yeah, we've had, somebody told me six. I think I'd have five. Maybe there was one, maybe there was a jumper. I don't know. But there were five in a short period of time between training, and we had one odd situation where one horse
collision.
Went into the other horse.
Yeah.
And that horse, I guess, eventually got colic and had to be euthanized. So it's unfortunate. We had one on the Oklahoma turf course. We had, one yesterday here on the main track. So look, you're not going to get through. It's very rare that you get through a meet with as many horses that run train here without fatalities, and I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm just trying to say that it is part of what happens here. I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and I don't recall a meet where we walked away without a fatality or more than one. So it's unfortunate. Obviously, there's been three out of Chad's barn. I'm sure he's obviously that's a rarity. Hopefully, whatever issues there may or may not be with the track, hopefully they've been resolved and we can maybe move on.
Yeah, tough one. The one on the Oklahoma was on Joe Sharp avoided, Joe was on that horse of his and avoided injury, and the collision was, the collision is a collision. They're hoping for the best, and let's keep everybody safe and get them around the rest of the way. And Dave, on that topic, we got the Grade One four-star Dave. Interesting kind of a chess match set of five, and then you wrote about Damon's Mound and Michelle Lovell, who is the most successful under-the-radar trainer in the country.
Joe Hirsch always said root for the best story, and you get a situation this weekend where you have that opportunity, a trainer like Michelle, who has 25 to 30 horses, she's kind of under the radar, yet she's caught people's attention because of the success she had with Just Might and Change of Control, and apparently it was the success that she had with that horse, those horses, that led Cliff Love to send Damon's Mound her way, and you know, he rewarded her, or she rewarded him, I should say, with a nice maiden victory. Delivered that victory at Churchill Downs, and now he gets tested against the best 2-year-old, at least on this side of the country, in Gulfport. I mean, you have to have been impressed with what you've seen from Gulfport in his first 2 starts, and it's a nice, again, it's a 5-horse field. Nobody loves that, but it's a good matchup between those 2 horses. To somebody who comes out of the Saratoga Special is going to take a big step forward in the division.
What do we have on Sunday, by the way? We've got the Mahoney, right? The sprint.
We've got the Mahoney, but we still have the 4-star Dave with Regal Glory. Billy trying to beat the boys and trying to deliver Chad his first victory in the 4-star Dave. It's kind of an odd that he hasn't won that race yet, and he's been second 4 times. I believe he started 13 horses and a total of 7 runnings. I remember it was just a few years ago, he had 4 horses in there, and they ran 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, what odds could you have gotten on that? That he would run 4 horses in an 8-horse field in the Grade 1 turf stake, and he would run 5, 6, 7, 8. I might be harder to do than running 1, 2, 3, 4. And he's done both. But that might be harder to prove. I think that might be, that was more surprising than I think when he ran 1, 2, 3, 4 a couple weeks ago.
Well,
If Regal Glory gets beat, then my suggestion is maybe he should skip the 4-star David for in the future.
Well, we've had some interesting takes on it. Nick Tamro loves Get Smoking in here.
Okay.
Thinks he's going to wire. So, well, Dave. I think the meet's flying by. Of course, I was in Maryland and Virginia and Jersey for the first 10 days. So
I was going to say, you've seen half of the meet.
maybe I don't qualify. I appreciate it. We'll talk Alabama next week.
Sounds good.
Dave Grenning, everybody. DRF Grenning, we got about 20 minutes, and let's get Hammer in, because Hammer's home, and he's got a chance to relax a little bit. He's been steadily on the road for months. I mean, after Oaklawn ended, he's turned up in a lot of different places. So we'll get Rick in here, and then we'll talk to Chuck and Barry. On their way to the track in the last couple of minutes. Papo and I will send out the screenshots for Form to Win. In fact, I already put up a couple for today that Papo formatted and took a couple of snapshots. And we'll do it for the most interesting racing tomorrow. And the full-fledged website, I think on Tuesday, we'll do a tour. We'll walk through it nice and relaxed with Papo, all right? Coming next week, because the website's live and all the things he talked about on Tuesday. So look forward to that. Oh, I don't know if you noticed, for those of you that see it on Twitter, when I do the show listing, I took a snapshot yesterday because there is a contest that you have to register if you want to do this for tomorrow on this card. If you've already looked a little bit at the card, the 4-star Dave Challenge, $3,000 buy-in. They're going to seed the prize pool with $5,000. It's the usual New York contest scenario, and all the rules up at the website. You got to register by 5:00 tonight. So the 4-star Dave Challenge, and of course the next big one will be Travers. It will be the next big contest. But every week there's Thursday and Sunday. You've got the low roller, which is a lot of fun. There's the $300 Saturday contest, but this is a special for the 4-star Dave. Okay, $3,000 4-star Dave challenge. Hammer standing by. Good morning. I think. Hammer, where are you?
Yes, there I am.
You're home.
I. I'm home, yes. Decided to come home a day early just because, a little tired. Saratoga's kind of like Vegas. You need to put a little limit on your stay, but I stayed eight days, actually, and it was great. I tell you, I just love that place, but a man's got to know his limitations, so I came home a day early.
I did put out on the Wednesday night, I think, before the meet started, I said, as one of, I don't know who said it originally, there's a famous saying, it's not the, now these days it's 40 days, but it used to be 24, and then it was 35. It's not the 40 days that'll get you, it's the 40 nights.
Isn't that right? I'll tell you what, I was pretty good for most of it. I actually had a lot of business type stuff I had to not deal with, but go to a lot of meetings. I had a few set up, so I had to be good in the morning, so I had to be kind of good at night. But actually, it took, I think, the seventh night to get Saratoga's. But we had a blast. I was with a few different groups, which was even better. And, you know, the usual Jersey boys was great. Greg Bowles, New Jersey's greatest handicapper, was on a roll, so we rode him into the windows, and Mike Dempsey and Neil Hayes, all the good old boys. Of course, Jimmy was up, if I could pick one trip a year to go on, it'd definitely be that. And we found another dark day trip to go on. I put it up on Twitter the other day, got a very good reaction, and that was the rail biking up in the Adirondacks.
I saw that. It was great. I've heard about this, but I had never seen the visuals.
Well, we had planned on doing this last year, and it was sold out, and I think for some reason, because of the heat in prior days, it wasn't. So they have eight or nine little trails you can go on. So we went on the one out of North Creek, and it was shaded, and you sit in these little converted bikes. It's like riding an upright bike, and just pedal away. You know, limited physical exposure. Really, it's flat, and you can't go fast enough, but too fast. But I mean, we went on these abandoned railroads is where they and tracks, and we were, you know, went right along the river, and I'll tell you what, it was fantastic. And there's six or seven places you can go, and you ride for, you know, however long you want. I think we went an hour and a half in. They let you out, you have a little lunch, they turn them around, and then you ride back. And you get a little exercise, but just being outside in the wilderness, kind of, it was fantastic. So I do recommend rail biking in the Adirondacks. And then Mig come up and said they have them in the Catskills as well. So, you know, check that out. Don't be afraid. It was a little intimidating, well, I think, walking up, and then all of a sudden you saw families getting out and telling us about how they did it last year. So don't be afraid of the physical exertion. It's just a good way to get out. So we had fun doing that.
Cool.
It was a great run. And we only got to sit with you one day. I mean, that's how busy I was, running around, passing out books for Kentucky Downs, and, just being able to visit with people you don't see too often.
Rick, nice as always, and we'll basically reconvene. I just wanted to touch base. You heading down to Del Mar one more time?
I'll go down to Del Mar one more time. I've got like 9-day interval. You know, I can't sit at home for 9 days. So we'll go down to Del Mar one more time later next week, and then come back and get ready for another cross country run into Kentucky Downs, which comes a lot quicker than you think. Stake nominations close on the 22nd. And entries are the 27th of this month, so I'll roll into town there about the 26th, and of course spend get the meet ready along with Tyler and Kevin Greeley, the three of us, along with Ted, kind of do what it takes to get it going and keep the meet going. So looking for a banner meet there. And, of course, we'll talk more about that as we get there. But great run. Good to see everybody. I'm glad the weather kind of cooled off down the road. So thanks for the visit, as always. And we'll talk as we always do. And we'll prepare for that big Kentucky Downs meet.
Outstanding. Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go on your Twitter machine. Wanted to check in with Rick after I could tell whatever I saw him. He was all smiles. He's bounding around. Saw him up in the boxes. I saw him in the paddock. Everywhere. The sale and always a upbeat presence when he makes his travels around the game, and I am going to catch. I'm going to count it up. I got to figure out where we've been together this year. We're going to set a record, undoubtedly. Speaking of coming together at racetracks, certainly Chuck Simon and Barry Spears with their Going in Circles. They've had their share of a few on the road activities. I mean, mostly Florida based, and you know when it comes to Gulfstream and Tampa, but together at Saratoga. So we're going to talk to Chuck. He's just picked up Barry. We were going to sit together. I will also mention I was in contact and got in contact okay with Jack D'Amico and Senator Hickman from Georgia. They'll join us next week, and we will have that conversation about this approach this time to horse racing in Georgia. And Senator Hickman, and they've got partners and people from, you know, the state, obviously, and from Atlanta, business interests. They're going to mount another attempt to bring a racing of some ilk and some form to Georgia. Chuck and Barry together making their way to the track, and Barry going to be in for the weekend. Good morning, guys.
Evo, good morning.
Hey, the first order of business, I think. Barry, how often, or is this a first trip for you to Saratoga?
No. I used to, when I lived in Massachusetts, I used to come like every weekend.
Okay.
But I haven't
there you
been
go.
Here since 2009. So,
wow.
Much changed.
Wow. Well, yeah, you know what? That's an interesting perspective, frankly, and it wouldn't have occurred to me to have that conversation. But, I mean, if you haven't been here in close to 15 years, then there's really a lot of new nooks and crannies and, freshened spaces.
Yeah, it's really different than when I last remember it. The last race I saw here before yesterday was Race Alexander's Woodward, so it was there was a lot to remember. But seeing all the construction and the different things that they've removed, added stuff like that is a lot to see.
Well, what are you looking forward to this weekend? How did you got here? What, midday yesterday?
Yeah, about noontime. Then we headed over.
Oh,
the
good.
Track. Didn't do much gambling, but, kind of toured the facility a little bit and, a lot of youthful memories for me at Saratoga. So it was fun. So today we're trying to make some money.
I love it. You got a few days to do that. And where'd you grow up in Mass?
Haverhill, up north of Boston, the Merrimack Valley area.
I know Haverhill very well. My father built in Haverhill and apartment buildings, and we used to go up on a regular basis. So I happened,
yeah,
Nashua and Haverhill, and yeah,
only a few minutes from Rockingham. So that's where I used to go.
I love it. No doubt. And Hinsdale, and are you old enough for Hinsdale?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Seabrook, Hinsdale. Oh yeah, definitely.
Too much. Chuck, what do you got planned for Barry? What's the Going in Circles victory tour?
We have anarchy planned, Steve. Complete anarchy.
I'm here for it. I'm here
we
for
stole
all
a
it.
Golf cart yesterday.
All the chaos.
We did steal a golf cart yesterday, briefly.
Yes, we did. That was interesting.
He's toured, made an undercover tour of things, and then the funny thing is we walk around Saratoga and people just randomly kind of come up and, you know, they want to say something, but we don't know who they are, and they, hey, I listened to your show, and which is great. I mean, it's always awesome that people kind of put the connection together, and it's nice to know that someone's listening.
Oh yeah. No, people are listening. The conversations generate, their own conversations, and no, it's well received, obviously, and a refreshing approach, on that topic, actually, Barry, let's get a couple of opinions in for tomorrow or whatever opinions you want to offer up for the weekend.
Really hadn't looked at tomorrow too intently yet, but today in the first race, who's the horse number six?
Kingsley Creek.
Yeah,
Kingsley Creek.
That's on my radar. And then one at the end of the day, in the 10th, and let's see, Waterville, the Clement horse coming off the lake.
Sure, the Waterville Lake.
Those are my two strong opinions on the day. We'll see. Early and late, maybe we can bail out with Waterville at the end.
There you go. That's a tough race. I mean, that's a first-level allowance, state breds, Well, the pick six sequence, the pick six sequence is absolutely murder.
Yeah, I mean, there's I guess the chances of it chalking out are very small. And there's a lot of horses, man, that can win today at decent prices. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a lot of chaos, which is good. That's the way I like it.
Chuck, did you got any anything you like by chance?
You know, I looked at the Evan Shipman from about six different angles, and I really kind of came up with the horse who ran last week, the one that Bill Morey claimed that ran so well, because it's a rare race. We don't see it that often anymore, where you have two horses that just absolutely positively want to be on the lead. And Rudy Rodriguez's horse with the funny name, and C. Foam, who won this race last year, but it was a mile and an eighth race last year. This year with the shoot, it's a completely different animal. So
it's true.
That said, I mean, obviously the one horse coming in from the rarely seen Dubai to New York bred move, but that horse really hasn't run very well in a long time, and will be a short price. And we're in the no chalk zone, so we do not take horses like that at short prices. But the Bill Morey horse, the horse he claimed off of Marshall Graham and his, who
yes.
was also in the right race before. I mean, that horse looks to get a golden trip in here, and might be able to just get a head start on. Maybe he's good enough to hold him off, maybe he's not. I mean, it was super hot last week when that horse ran. So coming back on short rest is not ideal. But, the horse is a good horse. I think he's 12 for 14 lifetime at the mile distance on the board. So, and of course, it's all price dependent, too. I mean, he's sitting up there 2-1. I don't want any part of it.
Well, Chuck, the thing I picked Tiergan, and I completely agree. And Morey is just deadly. Although he's 0-6, he hasn't run very many at the meet with two board hits. But I completely agree. And if he runs back, he runs back to that optional claimer last that he was claimed out of, that he cleared the condition, I think he's very tough in here. You're talking about betting it as a standalone race. I mean, from the pick six standpoint, it's tough to look at this and not have to use Bankit. and even, you know, even consider Seafoam. I mean, I thought this is what has made this sequence so difficult. I mean, every race has got 4 to 5 actual contenders that you cannot just easily cross out. I don't know what I'm going to put the ticket together here when I get off the air, but it is very, very tough.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Barry even mentioned, you know, 3 jokers, getting Johnny B, another horse that looks like it's got enough tactical speed that it's going to be ahead of Bankit. And, I mean, Deep Closers haven't done great on the dirt, though the dirt this week, you know, they added clay, and it seems like it's a little bit different surface than we've been seeing. But, you know, it's I can tell you this, I do not like Brooklyn Strong. But other than that, it's a pretty wide open race.
The Evan Shipman is the 8th today, as we've got kind of the New York Showcase-ish grouping with the Morrissey earlier in the card. The Union Avenue is the 6th, and the Shipman is the 8th. And then what, 4 other New York bred. So 7 of the 10 today.
I will say, Steve, that this weekend the race I'm most looking forward to is the Saratoga Special. And, I mean, obviously it's a short field, but there's two. I mean, I can't remember the last time 2 2-year-olds that had been as impressive as these two horses coming in, Gulfport and Damon's Mound, facing off this early in the year. But that city, it's you know, the closest thing we're going to probably see to a match race, but I mean, I'm really that's the race that I'm looking forward to most.
Well, guys, looking forward to spending some time with you over the weekend. It's going to be, I think, we're free and clear on a gorgeous 3 days here running through to Sunday. Let me just make a quick confirmation. Oh my God!
Yeah, I brought the weather with me. I brought the good weather with me.
You did, Barry. You really did. Unbelievable. Not a threat of rain Saturday or Sunday. Virtually none today. 79, 78, and 81. This is what Saratoga, the Capital District, the Adirondacks, that's what we like.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can't pat ourselves on the back, because you know how the weather can turn in a heartbeat up here.
Around here. Yeah. Guys, I appreciate it. We'll see you over there, and good luck this weekend, and we'll look forward to all the adventures and misadventures maybe, and then the Going in Circles recap on Monday.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot, man.
Not at all. Barry Spears, everybody, and Urban Handicapper, of course, and Cannon Shell, Chuck Simon. And I did see this week, because I followed them right away, they in addition to the individual accounts, they've created a Going in Circles media account. So follow that, too. And I guess they'll probably coordinate a lot of the things that they're doing through the, you know, sort of the umbrella account. Well, I guess we recovered Case, right? We got pretty much everything done. Thanks to Marty McGee and Scott Shapiro, Hammer, Priv, and Marcus Hirsch, Scully, Nick Tamaro, Dave Grenig, and Barry and Chuck. And you know what? The Atlanta conversation, we'll have that early next week. Let me put together a pick 6 ticket for you, everybody, and we'll do our best. Let's see if we can't do something with this. And a great weekend of racing. Good luck. Talk to you Monday at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred Horse Racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app?